Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Gas is a graffiti artist in the western Chinese city of Chengdu. Today he's painting a door in an old factory which is being converted into an art zone. When he finishes, he'll post the pictures to his fans on Sina Weibo, China's equivalent of Twitter. Gas is part of a new generation in China eager to express themselves, and the internet is the perfect platform. I'm Duncan Hewitt, and I'm in China to look at how Weibo and social media are bringing change to this vast nation.
Graffiti art is in its very early stages in China, and actually, a lot of people's work are quite simplistic. They paint them to have an impact, but there is not very much deep thought involved. But in 10 years or so, it will develop into something much more meaningful, into a golden age of graffiti art.
Gas's signature image, the Chinese character qi, means air and the energy of the body. And graffiti is certainly bringing a new energy to Chinese cities. I've lived in China for the last 15 years, and until a few years ago, I barely saw it. Now it's appearing on walls, on train carriages. It's a symbol of a new urban youth with its own subcultures and individual attitudes. And even though police often scrub his graffiti away, Gas isn't deterred. Artists like him now have social media to spread their work. In this BBC World Service programme, I'm examining the revolution in self-expression brought about by sites like Sina Weibo, the Chinese equivalent of Twitter. Some of these things that you're doing, like the place we're in today, are in fairly remote locations. How do you make sure that more people see your work?
The people on the street see my works and they are interested in them. That's a big achievement. But the internet is now another big channel for giving people the chance to see what I'm doing. It's like another kind of traveling. I don't have to travel, but my works can travel.
Cheap smartphones are giving people in inland cities like Chengdu the chance to get online, even if they can't afford a computer. It's fertile territory for social networking platforms like Sina Weibo, which currently has over 300 million users. Indeed, Rand Ho, who heads the online marketing company Resonance China in Shanghai, says big businesses can no longer ignore Weibo.
It's going to be the water cooler of China, where everybody just gathers to share information, to spread gossip. It's a really good first step for brands to take into China, is just to be a part of that conversation.
Weibo's growth has also been boosted by its versatility. When it launched in 2009, soon after Twitter and other domestic social networking sites were blocked in China, it simply echoed the basic microblogging model of users following each other, commenting on posts and reposting.
Since then, Sina Weibo has integrated a lot of new things into it, like being able to see images, being able to do conversation threads, and these are kinds of things that I've seen Twitter belatedly copy after they saw it work on Sina Weibo.
The ability to post images and video has been crucial to Weibo's success in China. Young people consume more and more TV programs online and are keen to post their own footage too. The nation's biggest video website, Youku, depends on microblogs like Weibo to spread its content. It's flourished in the absence of YouTube, which remains blocked in China. Youku not only shows foreign television programs never seen on official state TV, but it also commissions its own shows.
Hi, this is Jin Xiao. I'm the director of international communications for Youku. We are going to the stage where we're going to record 15 groups. They will perform like singing and dancing. They are all contestants that we found online. And this program invited 10 leading satellite TVs and also 10 leading record labels. So on the stage, they will, right on the spot, offer if there are some opportunities for them.
Okay, so we're now in this big studio. We got about 200 young people sitting on benches, the audience in front of us, and then there's a big screen with a big sign which says in Chinese, I am a legend or legendary me. The contestants taking part in Legendary Me, which had 10 million hits in its first week alone, range from a 12-year-old boy to Beijing housewife Mei Keli, whose deep voice led to a rather personal debate among the judges about whether she was actually a woman at all. But Mei, who heard about the program via Weibo, didn't bat an eyelid. We're now backstage with Mei Keli, who was one of the contestants in today's program. Tell me, why did you decide to actually take part in this competition? 你为什么决定要参加这个比赛呢?
我主要是今天站在舞台上。
So she's saying that the main reason she wanted to be on the stage today is to show people that she actually has the lowest bass voice in the world of any woman. 你这个是第一次参加这种比赛吗? Is this the first time that you took part in a competition like this?
曾经也参加过一些比赛, 但是...
So she's taken part in a few competitions before, but this year she's decided to take part in a lot of competitions so that everyone will know about her unique voice, which is like the voice of a sort of fairy or a magical figure. Around 20% of videos on Youku are uploaded by the public, giving ordinary people like Mei Keli the chance to broadcast themselves to millions outside the confines of state media, whether to show off strange talents or do more serious citizen journalism. Jean Shao.
We call it Paiku in China, and it's slightly different from YouTube. It's more like commentary, because Chinese, they sometimes will not show their family life, but they want to shoot what's happening around them. I remember there was one major earthquake. The first clip about the area is from a video shot by a mobile phone.
Isaac Mao, one of China's first bloggers and a specialist in internet trends, says the web has encouraged Chinese people to start expressing themselves individually after many decades of political control when they took care not to share their opinions too widely.
With the long term of maybe cultural repression in China, people really worrying about if they share, you know, how the consequences could be, you know, to themselves or maybe to their connected groups. However, once the internet gives people this kind of little power, at least I can share my picture of my cats, of my flowers, my dishes, whatever. That's why this one gives them encouragement, because people will recognize them and someone they never seen will connect to them. You know, they share more, and if they share more, they can gain more.
One man who's benefited from this new mood of sharing and openness is Wenhua Jian, a former online marketing specialist who recently became China's first microblog novelist and something of a guru for would-be writers. Over cups of oolong tea in his Beijing flat, he explains how he published his novel Love in the Age of Weibo 140 characters at a time on Weibo over the course of a year.
微博时期爱情没有一个草稿，也没有一个大纲，但是我有一个主线，我要写一个明星。
Love in the Age of Weibo didn't have a draft or detailed structure. I had a basic story. I wanted to write a love story between a grassroots person and a female celebrity. But I added lots of tangents by putting events that had happened that day into the story. So I couldn't write the plot in advance, because when I finished writing one day, I had no idea what I was going to write the next.
Did you actually ask your readers to cooperate from the beginning, or how did it develop?
Before I wrote this, I used my own web ID to send out a question. Do you still believe love can exist in the age of Weibo? An era where information is more open, things are more transparent, and people's social networking and relationships have become easier.
And Wenhua Zhen found that people certainly were willing to open up about relationships and be written into his story. Some even found love while following his novel online.
In fact, people got in touch with me and told me that a couple of people who were following me met and started a relationship. So this kind of microblog era love really happened.
But it wasn't all soft focus. Wen's novel incorporated topics like domestic violence, which was being widely debated online at the time. Such open discussion about social problems, or even love, would have been unthinkable when I first came to China 25 years ago. China even saw a case recently of a group of young men using Weibo to accuse a famous teacher of molesting them 2 decades earlier. Michael Anti is one of China's first bloggers.
Social media in China really trend Chinese society because they trend a generation of people who embrace the freedom of speech. They realize, because of the microblogging every day, they realize freedom of speech is their birthright. It's not some privilege from the West.
Someone who exercises this new freedom to speak out is Jin Xing. A famous dancer and choreographer, she started out in a military dance troupe as a man before quitting and becoming China's first publicly acknowledged transsexual. And when she became a judge on a Shanghai TV dance contest, her blunt comments quickly made her a star on Weibo. She now hosts a chat show about social issues and relationships. Jin Xing says the openness online is linked to a new mood of confidence in Chinese society.
The young people to express themselves, the emotion, you know, not like old generations, really conservative, hiding, you know, covering, pressing it. No, it's not that anymore. They know that China economically developing and form a very important role in the international economy. Public also much more confidence. They think that they can face the world now. In the microblog, you can see how much people express themselves about government, society, you know, legal issues and social issues, sexualities and the stars, everything.
For the authorities, however, this new willingness to debate can be a little alarming. Just across the road from me now is the walled compound of the American consulate in Chengdu. It was here in February this year that one of China's biggest political scandals of recent years began, and one of its biggest online events too. When Wang Lijun, police chief of the nearby city of Chongqing, fell out with the local Communist Party secretary Bo Xilai, he took refuge here in the consulate for a day. The news first broke when local people began posting on Weibo about the massive security presence around the building. And the internet went wild with speculation, which unusually for China, wasn't blocked for several days. But a couple of months later, when Bo Xilai was sacked from the ruling Politburo and his wife detained in connection with the killing of British businessman Neil Hayward, the government closed down the comment function on Weibo for several days. Scrutiny of Weibo was stepped up, including a ban on the use of Mr. Bo's name and that of his city. Every week, the Chinese government releases a list of banned words to companies like Sina. In recent days, the word Hong Kong March has been banned after protests there. Even the name of China's president, Hu Jintao, is banned to prevent criticism. But the creativity unleashed by sites like Youku and Sina Weibo is also evident in the way people use language to get around China's censorship system, according to veteran blogger Isaac Mao.
The Chinese language was reinvented in many ways on Weibo. Bo, you know, his name, you know, in Chinese characters means slim. So people will use another way to express it, Ho, you know, not thick, to describe the guy, you know. And also they use tomato to describe Chongqing because tomato is a red fruit and Chongqing was famous because of singing red songs, you know. Tomato in the last pronunciation is Xi Hong Shi. Shi means city. You cannot prevent me from talking about tomato.
And there are other creative ways to avoid the keyword system. Using pictures is one.
I'm with Pi San in his stylish converted warehouse in Beijing's art district. He's a famous animator, and we're just watching one of his cartoons called Miss Puff. Cartoons are huge in China. Pi San has used his own animation, which is published via social media, to make some very interesting comments on Chinese society. Pi San found fame with his rebellious schoolboy character, Quang Quang, whose frustrations with China's exam-obsessed education system were summed up in a cartoon called Blow Up the School. His latest work, Miss Puff, heavily promoted on Weibo and distributed on Youku, is a more subtle critique of society, about a young freelance writer and her struggles with the materialism of modern urban life.
那这个泡芙小姐她是一个什么样的人物呢? So tell us about Miss Puff. Who is she? What does she represent?
泡芙她其实是一个喜欢冒险，有一点点，就是有点点游离，叫做
Miss Puff is a girl who likes to be adventurous, because the social reality is that China is very materialistic now. People are only interested in money and in practical things which they profit from. Miss Puff has her own understanding of love and freedom. She uses her intelligence to fight against the world. She represents a group of people who would like to become like this. We are all very oppressed by reality in our lives, whether about cars or houses or jobs or just existing, and it makes people very exhausted. On the surface, they look very trendy, but in our hearts, we are under great pressure.
Not all of Pi San's works are so easy to access, though. For example, the short satirical cartoon he made last year following the arrest of his friend, the artist Ai Weiwei, whose sunflower seeds installation was showing at the Tate Modern in London at the time.
The story is about a boy standing in front of a megaphone, saying, "Today, someone is selling seeds." And as soon as he's finished saying this, a black hand grabs him and pulls him away. Then we drew another child saying the same thing, but he managed to say one less word before he was pulled away. At the end, you see a big handful of seeds being thrown into the air, and they form the shape of the character Ai, which means sigh, but sounds the same as his name.
It was the only way for Pi San to get around censorship, which completely blocked the use of Ai's name in written posts. Although his cartoon was quickly deleted, many people saw it first, and Pi San says it's important for artists to keep testing the system.
I think the scariest thing in this country is not the system of censorship, but self-censorship. Young writers say to me, "We can't do that because it will never get passed." But I say, "How do you know it won't be?" In America, for example, censorship also used to be very strict, but creative people kept pushing for more space.
Pi San, like many in China today, does worry that Weibo can sometimes just serve as what he calls a rubbish dump for negative feelings. And as Chinese society races to keep up with such huge changes, there's a lot of anxiety about unleashing the power of the mob. Official media commentators have warned that Weibo is exacerbating divisions between liberals and conservatives in society, with abusive verbal attacks common. Even some well-known liberal thinkers share these concerns.
Hello, my name is Han Han, and I am a writer and motor racing driver.
Han Han, who found fame as a teenager after dropping out of high school and writing a novel about why he did it, is an internet phenomenon. His often caustic musings on China have made him the world's most read blogger and drawn 5 million followers to his Weibo account in just a few months. But he's recently had to threaten legal action against online critics who've questioned whether his writings are really his own.
If you make a rumor seem really big and really surprise people, it will spread really fast. And by the time you say it's not true, it's already spread around. And lots of people, maybe 10 million people, have already accepted this rumor. And you've been hurt. And when you say it's false, maybe only 10,000 people will know it's not true.
Han Han says people are still getting used to the freedom of expression they now enjoy online.
I believe that Weibo will push forward change in the nation. At the moment, because of the government, because they always control everything, so people are very stupid. I'm not talking about intelligence, but because they've been brainwashed by the government. They can't think independently. But Weibo will make more people think more independently. When this happens, it will be easier to see through rumors.
Indeed, Han Han argues that loosening controls on China's mainstream media would actually benefit the government by reducing rumors and speculation. He believes that such an era of unfettered information will come to China within a decade. Others are more skeptical. Blogger Michael Anti says the controls in place to limit specific anti-government organization online means Sina Weibo can bring social change, but it can't bring political change.
If you want to write about anything about opposition movement, like democracy, about gathering, about protest, the keyword system will quickly find you to even alert the local police, even before you went to the place. And they will delete any sensitive account. They made impossible for nationwide dissidents connect to each other.
We tried to speak to the central government about their control of Weibo, but they declined. But some observers believe things can't go on as they are. Internet expert Isaac Mao says China's newly empowered public is becoming frustrated at such restrictions, and the sheer volume of information online is becoming ever harder to control.
The system is doomed. Once, you know, the censorship going too deep, it will dip into the common people's life and everyone's space. You feel very uncomfortable every day talking about anything. That's very much will generate a very big counting force I call dog chasing tail. I think the censors can go in deeper, but it will generate more, you know, self-hurt and chaos. I mean, it could be no more than 2 years.
The cartoonist Pi San.
I want to do a song, an animation, as a joke.
There was an old communist song called Without the Communist Party, There Would Be No New China. He was thinking of doing one called Without the Internet, There Would Be No New China.
If there's no internet, there will be no new China. It's not only changed everyday life. I think the changes it's brought to how people think are enormous. People have realized that the power of the individual or of the people cannot be ignored.
For the Chinese authorities, promoting internet use for economic growth while at the same time controlling its content was always going to be a difficult circle to square. One of the founders of the Chinese internet once described it as being like a nuclear bomb creating an information explosion. Weibo and social networking have helped its impact radiate deeper into Chinese society. The fallout may be just beginning.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. For details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.